Breaking format. Welcome to 2020. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Thursday to you. This program is still brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Happy New Year, clones. What's cracking? Welcome back. Good to be here. All right. Hope you had a great holiday season. Nice to start the year with you. Let's get it going. Telephone number is toll free. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Adam Hawk, what's up, man? How you doing? My program monitor just died. Welcome back! Dude, by the way, it is cold in this studio. All right, so the show is setting up like this. Your telephone number is toll-free. Use it. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Good sound effect. Welcome back. There I am. No, I'm not. There I am. No, I'm not. A few technical glitches to start the year. Nothing big, though. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'd love to see that, too. Follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so the show sets up like this. Coming up next segment, got to check in with my guy, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Wild Card Weekend upon us already. JLC joins me next segment. Top of hour number two, we're talking college football with Pete Thamel, Yahoo Sports college football and basketball reporter. And in hour number three, the head basketball coach at Texas Tech, Chris Beard, joins us. And the reason for that is there is a special which is going to drop this evening on CBS Sports Network, The Men of March. And remember, I went back to Lubbock and I sat down with Chris Beard and actually spent a day or more with him in August. So he is going to join me in hour number three. I've got an episode of the Jim Rome Podcast, EP 110, with Bob Mayer, dropping after the program. A little change of pace, and I'll explain exactly what that's all about, too. So again, what are you waiting on? Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. What do you want to talk about? I've been gone for the better part of 2 weeks. We've got a lot to get caught up on. I want to thank everybody who came in here and held this thing down while I was off. Everybody did an amazing job. Good looking out. Thank you very much. All right, starting with, on a Monday, well, it is Thursday, but normally on a Monday during the football season, I crack open the mic, I open up the show with a roundup of the NFL action. You know, kind of like a quick whip around to hit on who won and who lost. It is Thursday, but today is kind of like that. But instead of talking about who won and who lost, we're talking about who has a job and who does not. As an example, Jay Gruden still does not have a job, but Ron Rivera does. Riverboat Ron is taking over in Washington and reportedly bringing Jack Del Rio with him as defensive coordinator. Personally, I like that hire. In fact, I like it a lot. And I like that he's bringing Jack Del Rio with him even more. So that's a good place to start. Freddie Kitchens is out in Cleveland. So is John Dorsey, which means Cleveland is going to go with a hard reset yet again. Now, if you want to make a move at head coach after this season, that's fine. I get that. In fact, I will own everything I said about the Browns coming into the season and during the season. Yes, I was all in on them coming into the year. Yes, I was all in on Freddie Kitchens getting that gig based on how the offense and Baker Mayfield responded in the second half of last season. And no, I've got no problem with the Browns breaking him off after only one season. Because while it's not on him, all on him, that one season was enough of a catastrophe, and my man Freddie was in over his head. He was. So firing the coach, to me, is justifiable in that spot. But firing the coach is one thing. Firing the coach and the GM, though, is another. If you're doing that, you're effectively starting over again. So you better have a plan, and it better be a really good plan, and not just you flailing around again. This is still a Browns house, despite that disastrous season they just had. But don't jack it up. Don't jack it up this time. I know the Haslams want to win. They just don't know how to win. Hopefully, they do get it right this time. Meantime, the Panthers are still looking for a head coach. The Jags are not. Now, to the surprise of many, Doug Marrone is coming back again next year, which means they're putting all the blame for the past 2 years on Tom Coughlin. To me, either that's a really bold strategy or it is no strategy at all. So, Jacksonville does not have an opening, but you know who also doesn't? Dallas. Hell yes. The Dallas Cowboys still have Jason Garrett as their head coach. New year, new you, but not a new head coach. That is absolutely the best. The organization that could not stop talking about their head coaching position has a chance to make a move right now because the season's over and they still haven't done anything at all. Like Jarrah. Jarrah went from nonstop noise about his head coach, providing weekly updates on his job status, to doing absolutely nothing when the time came to do something. Well, actually, I take that back. That's not right. Jarrah has done something. Jason Garrett reportedly met with Jarrah and Stephen Jones on Monday, and then again on Tuesday, and now he's coming back to meet for a third time today. A third meeting. Like, are you kidding me? I love that they're meeting again, and they're really dragging this thing out. Except, what the hell is there to talk about now that they haven't already talked about before? What's changed since Tuesday? Like, yo, Red, what did you have for dinner last night? Come in and talk to me and Steven about it. Hey, how are those New Year's resolutions going for you, Red Man? Hey, you see that Rose Bowl? Hell of a game, right? Honestly, this is the best. Just when you thought Jarrah could not get any more Jarrah than he was during the regular season, he finds a new gear in January. I respect that because that's what the great ones always do. January is where legends are made in the NFL, and Jerry Jones is becoming more of a legend every single day. My only hope is they don't make an announcement today. Stretch this thing out. His contract runs up until January 14th, but don't stop there. Keep it going right past the Super Bowl, right into the combine, right past the combine, right past the draft. I want Jarrah and Steven and Red to still be meeting 3 or 4 times a week in July to talk about Red's job. That would be the greatest thing ever. And it's even better when you hear the reports that Garrett already has allegedly said his goodbyes. And they're still dragging this guy back to the facility for nearly daily meetings. I mean, you hear those reports. He said his goodbyes. He packed up his desk. He walked out of a building. He had a cardboard box. He had an office plant on top of it. And Jarrah's saying, hey, yo, Red, can you come back in tomorrow for another meeting? It's amazing. I can't wait to see how today's meeting goes and how it compares to the other two meetings. But again, seriously, what the hell is this all about? They can't really be deciding whether or not they're going to keep this guy, right? There's no way he could actually come back, right? Then again, how many times has the world said that Jason Garrett is going to get broken off on Sunday? And sure enough, that key card still works on Monday. And then he's right back at it, doing whatever the hell it is that he does. So, is this yet another long line of burials for Garrett that never actually takes place? Or are they going to try to make him like head coach emeritus or something like that? I don't know, maybe like clapper in chief. The clapper. Just keep that guy around. Or is it possible that the Cowboys don't even have a replacement in mind? I mean, that can't be right. You can't tell me that with all the gum flapping about head coaches that Jerry Jones has done over the years, that this guy doesn't actually have a short list ready? Or is this about, and this is one of my favorite angles, is it about keeping Garrett away from some other team? Like a team in the division that has an opening, which I will get to in just a moment. But what's that about? I mean, are they trying to keep Garrett long enough for everybody else to make their moves so that Garrett can't come back and coach against him? Because if they're doing that, that's pretty weird and pretty much dirty pool. Like, if you think this guy is so good that he could turn around another team, then you would keep him as your own head coach. But if you don't want the guy as your head coach, it's because you think that he can't or that you can do better. So go do better and let this guy go do his thing someplace else. In other words, does Jarrah not have a plan, or does Jarrah have an amazing plan? Knowing Jarrah and his crew, anything is possible. Just know this. Know this about me. I love this. I love the fact that Jerry Jones, a guy who can't wait to talk to the media moments after a game and has weekly radio hits, is suddenly nowhere to be found. And the organization that's talked so much for so long suddenly has gone silent. The only bad thing here is if it ends today. Man, don't let this thing end today. Keep meeting and keep deciding nothing. Oh, and keep missing the playoffs when you're an alleged Super Bowl contender. In other words, never ever change. And I know you won't. Cowboy honks, I haven't checked in with y'all in a couple weeks. Where you at? What's going on? I just know this is exactly what you wanted, right? Or actually the complete opposite of what you wanted. Because the red man still got a job. Man, get up in here, Cowboy honks. What's up? 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned I would get to it, but also in that same division, there is a head coaching opening with the Giants. So Pat Shurmur is out, but Dave Gettleman is not. Which begs the question, how the hell did he get to keep his job when the other guy didn't? Well, Gettleman met with the press, and it went about as badly as it always does, if not worse, which I will get into a little bit later on. I want to talk about the bowl games yesterday. I went to the Rose Bowl, so I've got thoughts on that. Badger fan is really upset today. I'll discuss whether or not they've got a reason to be so. And the great Michigan man, Jim Harbaugh, got hammered again on the big stage. And there was Nick Saban piling on late. And then Michigan men didn't like that either. Not surprising at all. None of that was surprising. And I'll get into that a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Chris Beard coming up in hour number 3. I have Pete Thamel coming up next hour. I'm looking for you clones. All right, you got a nice break from me. I got a nice break from you. We're back in 2020. Do what you do, except do it much better. Do what you do, clones, except do it much better. 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, Adam Hawk. Get up in here. Let's get that first email / tweet of the year. This might make it to our year in review, 2020. Watch your head. Hey, Adam. What? That's code for Happy New Year. All right, here it is. The first email of 2020. It's going to set the tone. I hope it sets the right tone. Rome. 20. Freaking 20. Insert new year, new me, motivational post here. The year we start hitting the gym mornings and evenings. The year we cut out soda from our daily diets. No more coffee. The year we finally tackle those student loans that we put into deferment for the past 10 years because our $14 an hour job as a secretary or office administrator did not allow us to make our monthly payment. 2020, the year we cut back from 2 packs of cigarettes a day to just 1. Sincerely, my social media timeline. Matt in Poland Springs, same guy, same place, different year. Way to be real. Way to be honest. When we come back, Jason Lockenfora is our first guest of 2020. Stay tuned. You've got the phone number, go ahead and use it. So, clones, what do we want when we are craving protein or we need more energy? We do not want a bar. We don't want a sugary snack. We do not want another energy drink. No, what we want is beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Still, Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. It's not shriveled up. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. What makes it so good? The company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in 4 amazing flavors. quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go. You can see the quality you're buying because Old Trapper comes in a clear view bag. So look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Right back at it. It feels awesome. Telephone number is toll free. Use the number 1-800-636-8686. We start the year off with a conversation with an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. As you know, he appears every single Sunday on the NFL Today. As you also know, he is a very good friend of the program. And as you know, he is the first guest of 2020. He is Jason Lockenfora, JLC. Happy New Year, brother. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. Hope all is well. And just one small editorial note. The NFL Today will be on Saturday night.
There you go. Very good point.
There we go. We're in basically prime time with us having the Patriots-Titans game.
So. I love it. Awesome.
See
Can't wait for that.
Afternoon.
Good. Good point. All right, so it's January 2nd, Jason. Does Jason Garrett still have a job on January 2nd?
The world's longest bro hug continues. I think, what are we into, day three or day four? I don't know if anybody from the Guinness Book of World Records is down there in the Dallas-Arlington area keeping track of this. It's amazing. I can't see how Jason Garrett comes out of this with the job he had before. Now, does he have some other job? Do they concoct something for him that keeps him in Jerry's orbit and keeps him in the family and sort of gives Jason enough to do that it's not just, you know what I mean, shaking hands like a casino greeter, but obviously it's not going to be what he did before. I that's what I'm led to believe they've been sort of pouring over and churning over. Will there be enough for Jason Garrett, to feel fulfilled to some degree? Or would he take a year off and you know, cast his lot as a head coach somewhere else? I don't see him getting one of these jobs. This is a very tight market. But, you know, a year from now or whatever, after a reset, could he reinvent himself? That's what they're sorting through. I still, again, can't imagine, you know what I mean, Jerry popping out of that room today or tomorrow and, you know what I mean, and waving a new 5-year contract for Jason Garrett to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't know. In terms of this bro hug that you mentioned, I'm loving it. I hope it never, ever ends, but all good things do come
they're
to an end. I'm sure this will.
Dominating a news cycle on an entire week where there's all this crazy stuff happening in the league, and they've literally done nothing, and it's still Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, Jerry obviously is a genius.
He's doing what he does, and he's doing it very well. But assuming they move on, and they ultimately will, who are the guys they would be looking at to replace Garrett?
I mean, I've heard since before the season started that Jerry was a big fan of what, you know, Lincoln Riley was doing in Oklahoma and was, in you know, sort of intrigued by that. You know, I don't know why they wouldn't want to talk to Matt Rhule right down the road at Baylor. Everybody else does. And to me, the wild card in this is Mike Zimmer, because I continue to hear that if the Vikings do not show well against the Saints, that all the changes that they kind of figured were looming in 2021 – well, maybe we make them in 2020 because there's not that many teams looking for coaches right now. And if we don't think he's the right guy to try to salvage the last year of this Kirk Cousins contract and get this team, you know, from being good to truly great, then maybe you make the move. And if everybody wants to talk to our offensive coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, maybe he's worth talking to for us too. And if we're talking to Stefanski, why don't we talk to everybody? So, and if Zimmer is out, Jerry loves him, and he is part of the family. And whether it's Zimmer running Lincoln Riley's defense in the sort of Sean McVay, Wade Phillips model, or whether it's Zimmer as a head coach, I think Jerry would have some interest in Zimmer.
Jason, looking forward to joining us. I'm glad you mentioned the Vikings and Zimmer. I was going to ask you about them. All right, Jason, what about the Giants? You know, you've got the Giants, and it was not that big of a surprise that Pat Shurmur was fired. But if you're a Giants fan, how are you feeling after seeing that press conference with Dave Gettleman?
Woo-wee. Tuesday, what a day, man. We had the Shad Khan statement that he's keeping a GM who's 36 and 76. We had Dave Gettleman trying to convince us that he's really a computer guy at heart, too, and he's at the forefront of modern analytics and football.
Right.
What a doozy. Bizarro world. Oh, yeah, and then the Browns fired their GM 24 hours after he fired their coach, and they had a statement from the GM who, you know, ostensibly was staying at that point. But, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody's taking what the Giants sales pitch is seriously. You know, the idea that Gettleman is now put in this revolutionary analytics department, so he's got to stay. At least that's what ownership said. I don't know that that's being really looked at as an alternative fact, I think, in the NFL world. But regardless, Gettleman is on board now. If they don't land Matt Rhule, I will be incredibly interested to see who they hire. They're casting a wide net. It's kind of all over the place. The other A-list guys do not want to work with Dave Gettleman. And Matt Rhule may not want to work with Dave Gettleman, or maybe I'll work with Gettleman, but in a completely sort of neutered, marginalized role. That's what they're going to have to sort through. But I do know returning to Jersey, coaching the Giants, has a unique appeal to Matt Rhule, and he by no means is shutting the door on NFL teams. if they don't get him, you know, Mike McCarthy's done the job, won some games. I would think experience would resonate there, and some success as an NFL or big-time college head coach would be something of a requirement, although, again, a lot of the guys they're talking to have nowhere close to that sort of resume.
Jason LaCanfora is an NFL insider for CBS Sports. He joins us once again. Jason, you mentioned the Browns, so let me ask you about that. They're going with a hard reset on everything once again. The coach is out. The GM is out. Is that a sign that they've got a plan, perhaps, for a new head coach who would not want to work with John Dorsey,
yeah,
or is that reading too much into it?
No, I think that's exactly what it is, that you know, for about 2 days, they had three coaching searches going on. You had the owner, Jimmy Haslam, reaching out to people he knows personally, like Urban Meyer. You had Paul DePodesta and the rise of the supercomputers in that building. You know, hey, we loved Kevin Stefanski a year ago. Hey, there's some guys on the Niners staff we think would make sense. And then you had John Dorsey reaching out to people he knew, like Eric Bieniemy and Mike McCarthy. And you know, it became pretty clear early in the process that Jimmy Haslam wasn't necessarily just going to, you know, put a check next to whatever Dorsey said and go with his guy, and that there were going to be people who wanted to talk about front office structure. And so at that point, they made the move. Where does it end up? It depends. It's going to be Dee and Jimmy Haslam who are calling all the shots there. And if they meet some of these younger coaches, or in the case of McCarthy, a former NFL head coach, and they fall in love with him, so be it. But I firmly believe he'll be reaching out to some of these big fish and taking their temperature. I mean, this is a guy who almost traded for Jim Harbaugh not that long ago. So I would not rule out him making a splash. And if you're going after a dude like that, you better be willing to come to them with completely bare cupboard so they can fill it for you. Everything from the team nutritionist to the guy who drives the bus to the dude with the, you know, who clears the snow off the field. Like, they're going to make all the calls.
Jason LaCanfora joining us for a few more moments. So in terms of those big fish, GLC, what about Josh McDaniels? Would he be considered that? And if he's coaching on Saturday night, what do you expect him to be doing on Sunday and Monday in terms of interviews?
Yeah, I mean, look, if they lose Saturday night, then he's going to obviously be able to spend a lot of time with whichever teams he chooses. If they win, history would tell us that Bill Belichick will go by the letter of the law, and he will give McDaniels the shortest portals of time that he has to allot in a short work week for the Patriots, which is understandable. And Josh may have to be a little bit judicious because it's hard to glean a lot out of a 2 or 3 hour interview. It just is. But would he have worked with Dorsey? No, I don't think that would have worked. I don't think anybody would have thought that would have worked. So yeah, I think it's realistic. They really wanted him in the past, and it didn't seem like a good fit. Last year, they didn't talk to him when it would have made a lot of sense too. And now it looks like they will sit down again. He's from that area. You know, that can kind of cut both ways. If you're the guy to save the Browns and you're from, you know, Ohio, that's a special thing. But, you know, when you have all the friends and family there and if things aren't going so great, it can be really, really tough to be in your hometown as well. So we'll see. Carolina will have a lot of interest for Josh. I don't know that he and Gettleman are a fit. In fact, I can't imagine they are. But we'll see, you know, what develops with the Giants and if Gettleman's role evolves at all.
All right, so let me double back to one last thing before I let you go that you brought up, Jacksonville. So Jacksonville, let's go with Tom Coughlin a few weeks back, but they decide to stay with Doug Marrone for 2020. What do you think is the thinking behind that decision?
I don't. I mean, I wrote a column on it a few days ago. If you look at him from any sort of standard metric, results on the field, results in your own division, did we finish strong or did we hobble in? Next year's contracts, next year's salary caps, our roster versus the other rosters in the division. And then history. Okay, now first-round pick's more important than ever, right? We made the Jalen Ramsey trade. We traded our best player for two, you know, bites at a future apple. Well, they've been picking bad apples. I mean, and they've been drafting real high and coming away with nothing. And, I mean, Dave Caldwell's a great dude, and I think he's very smart and very sharp. But he's been there since 2013, and they've won 36 games. This year was a disaster, right? The owner said it was a disaster himself in the press release. Well, guess what? It was their second-best season under Dave Caldwell. So I don't get it. There are people who feel like maybe they are just streamlining things, keeping costs down, and waiting to see how many games they play in London in this new CBA. And maybe eventually the whole Jacksonville experiment might not work for Shad Khan. I don't know. That's how people in the league are reading it. But regardless, from a business or financial standpoint or a result standpoint in the standings, 36-76. Woo!
You are what your record says you are. He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today, except this week. Jason, what about Saturday? Remind everybody, what time do you hit air in primetime on Saturday night?
Yeah, we'll have a shortened show. I think it's about 35 minutes or so. So we've got you covered from the end of the first game on Saturday right up to our kickoff, which I believe is 8:15 Eastern.
A friend of the program and the first guest officially of 2020, Jason Luckin for it. Jason, appreciate that so much. Thank you very much.
Always my pleasure, brother. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. JLC. My man is brother. The best. So look for them on Saturday night in prime time, the NFL Today. All right, we will take a short time out. When we come back, I've got an open segment for you. Pete Thamel at the top of the hour. My thoughts on the bowl games from yesterday. When we come back, and I'm looking for the first phone call of 2020. Who wants to be the one to carry that torch? Who's got it? Who's ready for the big stage? Who wants to set the tone for 2020 on the phones? 1-800-636-8686. Chris Beard is the head basketball coach at Texas Tech. I'm going to track him down for the first time since we came together in his house in Lubbock back in August, because there is a special dropping this evening on CBS Sports Network about Chris Beard. So that's coming up in hour number three. Got a podcast I'm going to push out after the program. EP 110, changing up on you. We're not talking sports. We're talking rock and roll. Bob Mayer has written the definitive book on my favorite band ever, The Replacements. That's a great conversation. I'll have that for you later today. But first up, I have got our first sports update of the year. Andrew Bogish actually has it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Let me reiterate something that Jason Luckin for us said. Saturday night on CBS, the NFL playoffs are in prime time. Ryan Tannehill leads the Red Hot Titans into Foxborough for a date with the defending champs. Tennessee taking on New England Saturday night, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on CBS. Got to wonder how vulnerable the Patriots are right about now. I mean, they're not the same. We know this. Offensively, they are not the same. They are not the same on the offensive line. They're not running the football consistently. We know they're better defensively than they've been in the past, but they're vulnerable. They're beatable. Of course, it is that time of year. Like, I try to make that argument, it's that time of year, right, where you don't mess with Bill Belichick, TB12 does what he does. Right. That time of year. That same time of year where they take care of their business, except they didn't, and Miami got them in the season finale, and it cost them a first-round bye. So it's not as easy as saying it is that time of year. They'll do what they always do, because they didn't. They didn't take care of business. They didn't beat Miami. They didn't get that bye on Wild Card Weekend. I mean, how weird is it to be seeing the Patriots playing on Wild Card Weekend? So it's not the way it's always been. Quickly, let's get some reaction in here. Dear Romy, what is the protocol? Should I hold my applause until after I get fired? Signed, The Clapper. Casey, New Hampshire. Wore Jason Garrett's next job. Working full-time in the Wheel of Fortune audience. Again, I hope it never ends. They met Monday. They met Tuesday. They're meeting again today. I mean, I did tweet last night. The hell was there for them still to talk about? Apparently, lots of things. I hope it never ends. Jarrett, drag it out. Drag it out. Matt in Vancouver with his first tweet of 2020. At Belligerent Nuck tweets, "Even I have no idea what Jason Garrett does when he shows up to work. Thanks, Keith Arnold." A Chael Jr. reference. Keith has not been here for a long time. Hey, Van Smack, the Cowboys aren't dragging Red's imminent firing out at all. Signed, people who leave their Christmas lights and decorations up for all of January. Signed, Brendan in the Natty. War Herb returning to the sideline to run the Factory of Sadness. All right, let me stop on that point for a minute. So what about Herb? Could Herb be the guy that they're targeting in Cleveland? I guess. I mean, that's not a shock. Anytime any job opens up, his name is linked to it. You know, even though the guy said, "I'm not going to coach anymore." Anytime there's any opening anywhere that matters, this guy's job or this guy's name is linked to that job, especially given that it's Cleveland. Except, know this about Herb. As great a college coach as he was, we have no idea how he'd be as an NFL head coach. You know, one of the things that he's best at doing is motivating young players. But would that work in the NFL? Would he be able to get an NFL player's attention the way he did a college player? Also, his offenses have always been really good. But other than Alex Smith, for example, how many of his quarterbacks have gone on and been successful in the NFL? Not many. If it were me, if I were the Haslams, that would not be the guy that I would hire. You want to talk to him? Fine. To me, I'm still big on Josh McDaniels. And I'll tell you why. One, he's worked with successful NFL quarterbacks. They've got a former number one pick in Baker Mayfield, a young quarterback. They've got to get the right guy to work with him, get somebody who's had success in developing quarterbacks, who's had good, successful NFL quarterbacks. Number two, McDaniels, to me, is smart as hell. And I think the guy went to school on what worked. Not too much, actually. But what didn't work for him his first time around at Denver. He's going to come at it differently. He'll be better for it. If I'm Cleveland, I am really interested in talking to that guy. In fact, that'd be the guy that I would want if I were Cleveland. Not Herb. I'd go with Josh McDaniels. But as Jason Lockenfora pointed out, until they lose and they're officially out of the tournament, Bill Belichick's going to make it as tough as possible for him to interview with other teams. So if you want him, you may have to wait. But then again, you're probably not going to have to wait as long as you have in the past for a Patriots assistant. And then there's the whole issue of, well, what about that Belichick tree? Other than, and who thought you would ever say this, other than Brian Flores, who would you want to pick from that tree? I would gamble again on McDaniels. Hey, Rome, welcome back. Happy 2020. So Jerry says that Jason Garrett is like a son, and this is how he's treating him. By stringing him along? Jerry better hope that Jason does not get in touch with my kids. Regards, Jose Menendez. Mitch from Buffalo, war resetting the 2020 crank counter to zero. And now one. Great, Mitch. And I had such high hopes for you. Well, there's your first Jose Menendez reference of 2020. Nice to see Jose reaching out to us from the grave. A Menendez reset. That's pretty fresh. Really topical. Dear Romy, I don't want to talk about JLC. I want to talk about the Rose Bowl. What were you doing there? Regards, Geoff and Lincoln.
What were you doing there?
It's not that far from where I live. I live in Southern California. They play that game in Southern California. It was one of the best matchups of the bowl season. And the Wisconsin contingency was there. So as you probably know, our oldest son, Jake, started at UW, University of Wisconsin at Madison, and just wrapped up his first semester there. The Badgers made it back to the Rose Bowl. They had lost three straight. So, of course, we wanted to be there and take that all in and had a great time. So why don't we talk about the bowl games really quickly? There was a time when New Year's Day was an absolute bowl extravaganza. It's not like that anymore. In fact, it really hasn't been like that for a while. But I am not going to go old old guy, get the hell off my lawn about it. Not when yesterday did involve a trip to the Rose Bowl. The actual bowl. And it was pretty awesome. There's a reason why the Rose Bowl is special. In fact, there's a lot of reasons why. Yesterday lived up to all of the reasons. Wisconsin, Oregon, being in the building. I talked at length with Badgers icon and former NFLer Pat Richter. Man, you talk about a living legend. My man was awesome. Pat Richter, so much class, such a dignified guy, and stories. Stories for days.
See you at the party, Richter.
Not that Richter. Pat Richter. You know, the guy responsible for hiring Barry Alvarez. The guy responsible for hiring a couple of coaches. Not one, but two, who got the basketball team in the Final Four. The guy who turned it all around for the University of Wisconsin, sports-wise. And then there was the game itself. And as you know, I do not root. I just don't. But that was a great game. That was a great game that had a horrible call at the end. You know what I'm talking about here. Oregon leading late in the fourth quarter, 28-27. Wisconsin had the ball. Third and six at their own 28. Enormous play. A first down keeps that drive going. A stop pretty much ends that game right there. So go ahead and roll it.
Cone delivers quickly. Catch made. And it is Ferguson, the tight end. A flag comes in the secondary.
Lenore, I guess he pushes at the top of his route. You can see Paul Chris, boy. You're not going to see emotion very much from Paul Chris, but on a critical third down.
Yeah, you got to use your imagination to see that as a pick.
All right, so that was a truly terrible call, period. That was a terrible call. That's not some homer or some Badger honk saying that. There was a lot of people saying that, not just me, including Sunday Night Football rules analyst Terry McCauley tweeting it. He tweeted, quote, "That is not OPI against Wisconsin. The receiver is trying to get into his route. The defender grabs him and prevents him from releasing. Hashtag Oregon versus Wisconsin." So what that was a terrible call at a terrible time, period. But Badger fan, as much as you hate to hear this, no, that is not what cost you that game. The four turnovers is what cost you that game. The four turnovers, which led to Oregon scoring 21 points. Justin Herbert coming up with one clutch play after another. That's what cost you the game. The officials did not beat you. Oregon did. And I hate to say it, but you beat yourselves by not taking care of the football, by committing too many costly penalties. Those turnovers do not change the fact that that was a brutal call. Nor do they change the fact that somehow, some way, officiating seems to be getting worse by the game. Look, I understand the bad calls are always going to happen, but how are they happening so often? Is it too much to ask that we get through a single game, any big game, without a ridiculously horrible call? Can we do that in any game at any level, college or pro? Feels like that might be too much to ask. It feels like it might be too much to ask. Except that's not the reason they lost that game. It just was a really bad call at a really bad time that once again became a talking point. But they had their chances. You got to take care of the football. And they had too many costly penalties. And you got to tip your hat to Oregon. They got it done. They found a way. Wisconsin did not find a way. So that's a gut-wrenching loss. Right when they thought they had it on the big stage and they were going to reverse that trend at the Rose Bowl, but it didn't happen. Great experience, though. Great, great atmosphere. Great experience. And, man, there was a sea of red. Badger Nation definitely represented. And they were devastated walking out of that joint. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of the officiating, I mean, it's getting worse, not better. Is it too much to ask that we play a big game and not have the officials as a talking point after that game? It feels like that might be too much to ask. You know, like it might be too much to ask to have Michigan show up in a big game away from the big house. That clearly is too much to ask. All right, all of that's coming up. Also, when we come back for hour number two, I've got Pete Thamel, who is a Yahoo Sports college football and basketball analyst. And we'll get into that with him. Coming up in hour number three, and I'm looking forward to it, Texas Tech head basketball coach Chris Beard. And there is a special dropping on CBS Sports Network tonight about Chris Beard. And I went to Lubbock back in August to interview him for that special. So he and I will chop it up about that. Jim Rome Podcast, episode 110. dropping after the program. I will preview that for you as well. You're in the jungle. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number two coming up next.